Some things just stick in your mind. Other things are soon forgotten. Some things linger. It was 1980. I'd taken my first church in September. And soon after that, was out visiting with one of my deacons. His name was Wilbur. Now, Wilbur was already retired. I was 27 years old. But I'd been through seminary, and I knew how it was supposed to be done. But we went visiting, first time I ever went visiting with Wilbur. He was such a pleasant fellow, so distinguished looking. And if you ever shook his hand, you better be ready. He was one of those guys that had an extremely firm handshake. You couldn't help but like him. We were sitting in someone's living room. I don't remember where we had went or why we had went, but I had been taught a specific way to go about talking to someone about their faith or absence of it. It involved questions pretty much like evangelism explosion uses. If you were to die tonight, do you know if you'd go to heaven or not? Or if you stood before the Lord and you had to give a reason for why he should let you in, what would it be? I had all the gospel presentation memorized. I knew the verses by heart. So this was what was going through my mind. This is where I was wanting to go, and we were talking and kind of making small talk like you do when you're kind of getting to know someone. Before I could ever get started, Wilbur jumped into the middle of it. And Wilbur said, and Wilbur began to give his testimony from A to Z. And how he had come to know the Lord and the difference it made in his life and on and on and on. I'm not sitting there thinking, Wilbur, hurry up. I got the gospel I want to tell to these people. That was the thought going through my mind. Well, I don't remember the conclusion to that whole visit, but the next time I went visiting with Wilbur, sure enough, same thing. Wilbur never missed an opportunity to give his testimony. In fact, when I was going to go visiting with Wilbur, I just breathed a sigh of relief, and I just let Wilbur handle it. Never changed my methodology much in those days. But over the years, I've come to appreciate and understand the power of a person's personal faith story. It is the absolute easiest way to witness to anybody that's an unbeliever. Because you are an expert on your story. You do not have to have reams of Bible verses memorized. You do not have to know all the steps A to Z. But you're an absolute expert witness on what's happened to you. And that's what the world needs to hear. And that's the story we all have to give. Believe me, I've heard every excuse there is. I still remember one of my deacons early on, another fella. He always said, Pastor, I'm just not a talker. But every time you sat down with him, he talked your ear off. So I don't know. I think he meant he wasn't a talker if he didn't really know you. I think that's what he was trying to tell me. Some people think, well, I'm no expert on the Bible. I don't know how to go about telling people about Jesus Christ and how they can be saved. And what if they ask me questions I can't answer? And on and on and on it goes. And we have a lot of fears like that. But there's one thing you're an expert in, and that's your own faith story. Now, last week we asked you take one of these 4x6 cards, file index cards, I think they're called. I'm surprised they still have them in the stores. Maybe you're like me, you threw it away and put it on your computer. But if you did that, I still want you to cooperate with me this morning. So if you went home and you filled out your faith story, and we gave you two categories. Let's see if I got it on here. Yeah. We said, take and put up at the top, in the middle, my faith story. And then put two headings, I once was, now I am. And under I once was, I first encourage you to write down four or five words that just describe your life prior to being a Christian. And under now I am, I said, put down another four or five words that describe your life now. Now, I did that, and then I did what I asked you to do. I took those words and I used them to form a little paragraph or a few sentences, so it, you know, it flowed. And I simply described what I once was and what I am now. Now, I didn't use every word I put down. I just used a couple of them here, maybe two for each one. And I put that faith story for you in the update you got this week. So you had an example. You had the paper. Surely you have a pencil still around your house. You had an example, and you had 7 days. So what I want you to do, and if you put yours on the computer instead of the card, you hold your card up anyway because I want to know it. How many of you would lift the card up and say, I did that this week? All right, very good. Very good. Thank you. I see not only cards, I see a lot of writing on some cards. Very good. I appreciate your cooperation. Now, if you were not here last week, right over here beside those two microphones down at the bottom is a stack of cards. Now, you can go ahead and write on your bulletin the headings. Come and get the cards after the service, and you can participate. All right. Then that was at the end of the sermon, but if we could back up a little, remember last week we talked about the story of the blind man in John chapter 9. You know, the one who finally, in desperation and not knowing any more to say after he had told them over and over what had happened to him, and the Pharisees couldn't accept that Jesus had done this and healed him because it was a Sabbath day and they couldn't reconcile the two. And finally the man said, they said, well, you know, how did this happen? Finally the man said, I don't know other than, I don't know anything but this. I was blind, now I see. That is your faith story and mine. There was a time we were blind spiritually. There was a time we did not know the Lord. And our life was like this. But there was a time in which we came to see. The light of the world shone unto us. We met the Savior. We placed our faith in Him and our life changed. It began to change. It wasn't an instantaneous thing entirely. Hopefully your life and mine still changing every day as we grow in the Lord. But as we looked at John chapter 9, we noticed these three things in reference to our faith story. We said your faith story is noticeable. Just like when they looked at the blind man after he was healed and after he had washed his eyes in the pool of Siloam, and they said, is this the same guy? This is the guy, right? But he looks a little different. And certainly people that cannot see, especially those that have been born blind, they don't have an example. They don't know how people act. And this man was born blind, but now he can see. He's acting different. He's looking different. He's walking around without being led and so on. It was noticeable what God had done for him. And then we noticed also last week that it was undeniable. He obviously now could see. He said, I once was blind, but now I see. And nobody could deny that. It was obvious. So your story, your faith story, of which you are the expert, nobody can say it's not true. They will listen to your story. In fact, people will listen to a story 10 times quicker than they will listen to anybody who sits down and tries to preach them a message or explain something from the Scripture. They'll put up their defenses sometimes when you do that, but they'll listen to your story. And what you have to say, they can't deny it. So we found out that our story is noticeable, it is undeniable, and then finally, we noticed also that our faith story is influential. So there were the reasons why, last week, that we observed that we should be in the habit of sharing our story of what Christ has done for us with other people. Now, this morning, and we were having problems with our copier, so I got all my notes here on this computer, so you had to bear with me a little bit. I'm not in the habit of using the computer up here. I don't use it anyway except to keep me on track, and I look at it once in a while, but you don't want me going off in three directions, believe me. What we want to do this morning now is look at the three parts of a faith story. And we gave you two of them last week. I once was, I now am. We're going to give you a third one this morning. But first of all, we want to confirm this method of witnessing elsewhere in Scripture. We just saw a blind man who was healed and then came to faith in Jesus in the process, who simply said, "I once was blind, now I see." And we've used that as the two points of our outline. We want to add to it, but we also want to confirm the biblical aspect of witnessing as far as our testimony or our faith story is concerned. You can see it all over the Scripture once you begin to look for it. And Paul is a great example. In fact, in the book of Acts, six times, Paul gives his faith story to one degree or another. And the one we're going to look at is in Acts chapter 26 this morning. And what we're going to do again is confirm the methodology, flesh it out, and bring it all together so that you can have the most effective faith story to share with others that you can possibly have. Might seem a little redundant, but hold on with me. I'm going to whiz through the redundant parts. What we're going to talk about here this morning is three easy steps to sharing your faith story effectively. Now, the context is this. Acts chapter 26. Paul, after his third missionary journey, goes to Jerusalem there to worship. He obviously is in a hostile environment. The Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, the scribes, all of them are out to get him. There's all sorts of controversy while Paul was there in the temple area. And the Roman soldiers at one point have to step in because there's going to be, you know, violence or some sort of riot occur, and they're in charge of security. So basically, in the process, they find out that Paul is not only Jewish, but he's also a Roman citizen. So now they were about to scourge him when they found that out. And they had to back off of that. He's a Roman citizen. So the Jews hatched a plot to kill Paul, and Paul was informed of it. To make a long story short, he was transferred by night from Jerusalem to Caesarea. And there to the Roman authority in that region at that time, a man by the name of Felix, who examines Paul and hopes to get a bribe but doesn't get it. He can't find anything against Paul. He basically keeps him under house arrest for 2 years. But then there comes a time when Felix is transferred out, and they bring in another man called Festus. And you know, he never starred on Gunsmoke with Matt Dillon, but that's probably where he got his name. Festus came in and replaced Felix. So that brings us down to the examination, the second examination, I believe, that Festus made of Paul. And he does this upon the visiting of King Agrippa, another known authority from the region. So that then brings us down to chapter 9, or chapter 26, verse 9. And here's where we begin. And here's where I want you to notice, if you will, the three easy steps to sharing your faith story, because Paul gives his defense, if you will. But his defense is nothing more than his story. He is talking about who he is, and that's why he's on trial. He's talking about who he is and what he believes and the controversy between him and the Jews. So he begins to speak to Festus and Agrippa. And the first thing he does is, you will note, and you'll see it in your bulletin there in the outline, he states what it was. He states what he was before. Now, for us, we're going to put it in our terminology. So here's step one, first easy step. State what you were once like. Very simple. I once was. Hopefully you've already done that. So Paul says, or the scripture says, indeed I must, I'm trying to go too fast, I want to slow down, okay? Verse 9, indeed I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. These are Paul's words to Festus and Agrippa that is describing the way he was before he came to know the Lord. He was doing everything he could in opposition to Christ and Christianity. He says, I thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So Paul begins by simply looking at his life and saying, well, this is what was going through my mind. This is where I was at in my thinking. Notice he says, I myself thought I must, or I should, do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. The big change that comes about when a person becomes a Christian, to begin with, is the way they think. Their mind becomes renewed. The Spirit of God becomes operative in their life. There is a change that comes about internally, and they literally have to change their mind about Jesus Christ to be saved. That's what repentance means, to change your mind about Christ, to see Him not only as being God, but see Him as your Savior and accept Him as your Lord. So there's where Paul starts. Now let's go on to verse 10, because he moves from his thought process to his actions in verse 10. This I also did in Jerusalem. Not only did I think this way, not only did I determine this is the way that I should act, I actually carried out that which I thought I should do. This I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. So he said, this is the way I was, this was my thought process, this is the way I was thinking, this is the way I saw things, and this is the result. This is what I did. This is how I behaved. And that's exactly what the first part of our faith story is all about. I once looked at life like this, and as a result, this is the way I live my life. So, that's number one. State what you were once like. You'll note now, he's using past tense verbs here. I thought, what I must do. That's even an aorist tense, past, in the English. This I also did. Then he went shut up and having received and cast my vote. All of those are past tense. He's talking about past history. I once was. This is what I was like. Let's move on to step number two. Number two, the second easy step in sharing your faith story, is declare how you are now different. Declare how you are now different than what you have just described about how you once were. So let's take that up, beginning at verse 12. While thus occupied with all that he's just described in the previous verse about persecuting believers. While thus occupied, I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. At midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So we see here that there's a change comes about in Paul's life because of what happened on the road to Damascus. Now you can read the account of it back in the 9th chapter of the gospel or of the book of Acts. But here it is in the midst of Paul's faith story. Now, verse 16, the Lord speaks unto him and says, rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will reveal to you. And verse 18, to open their eyes, that is those you preach to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Then he says this, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works befitting of repentance. So Paul simply says here in this description of how he is now different, I once persecuted the church, but now I preach the gospel. I once was a persecutor, now I'm a preacher. What I once did against the church, I now do for the glory of God on the other side. He declared how he was now different. That's step two that I ask you to fill out this week. Now I am. Here's how I'm different. Let's move on to the third easy step. And this is the one that we have not yet spoken about. Number three. Easy step number three. Explain why you have changed. Explain why it is that you have changed. What was it that brought about this change in your life that made you change from what you once were to what you are now? Now, this change that has come about is noticeable, it's observable, it's undeniable, and ultimately it's going to be influential, but this third step needs to be made part of our faith story. And step number three is to explain why you have changed. Look what Paul does, and we're going to back up for just a moment. Back in verse 14, the Lord speaking to him, after appearing to him, in his risen state, after his resurrection, on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then the Lord says this, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, the goad is a sharp stick you use to punch a herd of animals when you're behind them, trying to move them in a particular direction. So the first thing we notice here is that Paul came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I think from the day that Paul was there consenting to the death of Stephen and heard Stephen preach that, we call it a sermon or a message, but literally it was the history of the Jewish people and his witness to Christ. And for the day Paul heard that, I believe the Holy Spirit began to deal with his heart. It never came to any decision or any fruition. It never made any change until Paul met the Savior on the road to Damascus. But there is a conviction process that precedes. And our faith story, which by the way, most of the time when you give your faith story, you don't see a result. You don't even need to always even press for a result or a decision. But God will begin to use your story and the Holy Spirit will begin to produce conviction. Remember, the word conviction means to convince. Only the Holy Spirit can convince someone in their heart ultimately to place their faith in Jesus Christ. So So there's the aspect of conviction. Then there's repentance involved here. Now the word repentance, we don't see it in the text here, but the word repentance means to change your mind, to have a change of mind. Now look again at verse 14. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goats. What does Paul say? He's called Saul before his salvation. So what does Saul say? So I said, who are you, Lord? Identify yourself. I don't know who you are, but one thing I know, you're the Lord. This is not something that happens every day. I recognize you're God, but I'm not connecting all the dots here. Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Why? Because Paul had to change his mind about who Jesus Christ was. He knew that he was in the presence of God on the Damascus Road, but he had to connect in his mind that he was speaking to Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, who had been crucified on a Roman cross not too many days prior, who had claimed to, or at least many were claiming, had raised from the dead. Now Paul had absolute evidence. He did come out of that grave. And Paul could connect the dots. And Paul had a change of mind about who Jesus Christ was. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Then I want you to drop down to verse 18. Jesus speaking to Paul in verses 16, 17, and 18, and we've already read most of that. Remember at the very end of it, down in the latter part of verse 18, he's talking about what Paul will do in the preaching and bring people to Christ and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, says Jesus. So, the conviction, the convincing of the Holy Spirit going on in the heart, the change of mind about who Jesus Christ is, ultimately then the acceptance of Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior and the Lord. So, Paul puts into his faith story the why as to his conversion. And we, if you will remember, have been looking at, I once was, now I am, but the why goes between those two in your story. So what we want to do is go think about your faith story that you have written out, and now we need to insert the gospel message in between those two points. I once was and now I am. So insert the gospel between the past and the present. And if you read through what Paul does, that's exactly what he did. He talks about his preaching after, it's point three in our sermon this morning, but point one and two was first and last, and point three is in the middle. So we need to insert the gospel into the middle of our faith story. But what is the gospel? The word gospel means the good news. It could be good news of any kind. It became a word that among Christians referred to the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul refers to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, at verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news." Now, he describes that good news in the same chapter, just a couple verses down, beginning at verse 3. And he says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day." Now, usually the gospel is referred to as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you're leaving out a part. I'm going to show you why. Okay? The gospel is really four things. It is the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearances. He was seen. Or you can divide it up into two parts of two. And so that's what I'm doing here. He died for, that means in our place. Christ died for us and because of our sins. He was our substitute. He died for our sins. And then He rose again the third day. Now notice how there's the four emphasized there. The substitutionary part. But notice how He uses the two phrases according to the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and He was seen. The two phrases according to the Scriptures point out and indicate the two most important aspects of the gospel that He's communicating. The head statement of the two-part gospel. He died according to the Scriptures. He rose according to the Scriptures. Now, the fact that He was buried and seen is the proof of the other two. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried. That proves He was dead. And He rose again the third day. And He was seen. And Paul goes into a whole list after this in that same chapter of people that seen Him, including himself on the road to Damascus. And the being seen is proof that He rose. Two statements. He died for us. He rose again. Two statements of proof. He was buried. Proves His death. He was seen. Proves His resurrection. So this is the gospel. Now here's the thing. This is where a lot of people get scared off in trying to share their faith story. They think, I've got to put all this scripture in. I've got to know all these things. Let me give you the simplest thing you can do here, and you'll have you cannot even make an excuse. I'm not asking you to memorize 1 Corinthians 15 at all. What I want you to do is think of the verse that all of us know by heart, John 3:16. You've learned it in Sunday school or somewhere along the line. And virtually everybody sitting here can quote it without opening the Bible. Is that not true? Is there anybody here saying, I don't think I can communicate John 3:16? No, you know it. You can quote it. Well, you might leave a insignificant word out or something, but you know what it says, and you can basically tell somebody what it says. That's all you need to know. That's all the scripture you need to use. Remember, He died for our sins. Isn't that what John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And He rose from the dead. Well, that's not in John 3:16. Oh, sure it is. You can't give someone everlasting life if you're dead. If he wasn't alive, if He didn't come out of the grave, He couldn't give anybody everlasting life. And by the way, it says, whosoever believes in Him, He's alive. He rose from the dead. But that verse will cover it. And what if you don't believe in Him? You'll perish. And what if you do believe in Him? You'll have everlasting life. So you can give your faith story. You can tell people what you once were, what you were like, what you are now like, how you have changed. And you can say, here's the reason why. God gave His Son. I believe in Him. You can even quote Him the verse. You don't even have to have your Bible with you. Now, there's plenty of other verses you could use. There's plenty of verses that will serve as a one-verse testimony or witness. Or you can memorize the Roman road if you want. Or you could get it on your phone, on an app. Or you could just punch a button and show it to them. There's no excuse for that part. It is simple. You know, I had a great privilege this week. I was privileged to be asked to come to someone's home and speak to someone about the Lord. I spent probably, 20 or 30 minutes. I never thought about what I was going to say much. Just kind of over the years I've learned to see where it goes. But for some reason, I don't know, you can say, well, it's on your mind because that's what you're preaching. Maybe so. But I just started telling my story. Now, I added a whole lot more details in that circumstance and situation than what I've got on the paper. I just got generalities on the paper, but I put in some details of what actually happened and along the way and so forth. And then I just followed it up. I didn't use John 3:16, but I used two or three other verses and followed it up and talked about them. And we talked about assurance and the fact that they needed to come to an understanding of where they were at, if they were just out of the will of God or whether they were unsaved. That's a tremendous privilege whenever I get that opportunity. Because, you see, I'm not like you. I don't go to work every day and work with unsaved people like you do. I don't, sometimes, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like I don't have as many opportunities as you have. So when someone wants to give me an opportunity, I'm thrilled, I'm honored, I'm excited. And just the enjoyment of that, the feeling of joy in that process is still with me. And if you'll learn to give your faith story, it'll revolutionize your Christian life and experience.